The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
Friends, part of not sucking at divorce is knowing what tools are available to you, especially when a child's safety is at stake.
Exactly. And if you're concerned that your ex is abusing alcohol during parenting time, SoberLink can help. Or maybe it's you that's struggling with alcohol or accountability. Again, SoberLink can help. And as we always say, there's absolutely no shame in getting help.
SoberLink's alcohol monitoring system is the simplest and most efficient way to prove sobriety during parenting time.
And that's because the system gives you real-time alerts, facial recognition, and it has tamper detection to ensure integrity of each test. And guys, I've used this many times in my cases. Judges use it, other attorneys use it, and best of all, parents get peace of mind.
And as we always say, you've got this and we've got you, which is exactly why we have teamed up with SoberLink to give you $50 off of your device. To sign up and claim your offer, visit www.soberlink.com/notsuck. Morgan, I feel like there should be balloons dropping from the sky right now and like bottles of champagne being popped.
Or sprayed.
Or sprayed. This is our 50th episode of How Not to Suck at Divorce. This is a process comprised of curveballs.
You can't be so rigid in the divorce process.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce. Can you believe it?
No, I literally do not know what we've talked about for 50 episodes or where we found the time.
Divorce, I'm pretty sure. I would hope.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. How much older do we feel?
More we look younger.
I know. I'm like, but how much older do we not look? Hashtag thanks Botox. Hashtag not sponsored, but they should be. I mean, I am thrilled. And I have to say, let's jump right in to our first segment, Obsessed.
I love this segment because it brings about things that we didn't even know we needed.
Things that we're literally obsessed with. Check it out. What I am obsessed with on today's 50th episode is us. I am obsessed with us.
I love that. Right? I actually was just thinking, as I'm still sitting in my son's closet, you would think after 50 episodes and all of this awesome success, I'm still in my son's closet next to stinky socks and all the things. And my other son, I just bribed to go to bed by telling him that I would give him 2 pieces of candy for breakfast if he would just let me record this podcast.
See, there you go.
So things don't change.
No. Things do not change. And it's so, I mean, my 2 kids are sleeping literally a wall away from where I am right now. And it was the same thing. I'm like, guys, mommy has got to go record. I need you guys. You got to just let me do this. And they're like, the divorce show. Yes. Let mommy work. But you know what? A few things. Not only are we 2 working moms who work so hard within everything that we do. But really, like when we both agreed that we were going to take on this show and add it to our list of other responsibilities, it was like a pretty big undertaking. This wasn't something that we took lightly.
Well, it's funny because that you say that because when we first started, one, we barely knew each other. Mm-hmm. But 2, I had no idea what we were signing up for because the first season was just kind of like, you know, recording a few episodes here and there. We didn't know the podcast game. We didn't know all the rules that come with the podcast mm-hmm. game. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, we could say this is kind of like a second job. It's not, it's something that's a labor of love for me at least. So mm-hmm. I enjoy doing it. So I don't look mm-hmm. at it, but it's just like adding another thing to the already busy day. Yeah. But I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I said, you know, yeah, let's do this 3rd season.
You know, like I think I see this as like a passion project.
Yep.
For the both of us, you know, like we have our reasons for why we wanted to do this show, but we have worked we've worked so hard and we've had so much success, which is, you know, whatever, success is great, but I am obsessed with how much engagement our show gets. Like how many people write to us and how many conversations we are so lucky to have with our awesome listeners who have been so supportive. And I have to say, like, power to you, Morgan, because every time somebody messages me and says, I need help with this, I almost always can get them an answer within hours. And that's because we've got you. You are there with your Rolodex, going through, finding people, attorneys, and, you know, answers to legal questions. I'm on my Rolodex finding people, the right therapists. I mean, I think it's incredible. So
we're doing God's work.
We really are. We're doing family law's work.
God's work of family law.
God's work of family law. So hear, hear. Cheers to us. Next time we get together, IRL, we're having a drink.
Yeah, we're doing it. But also cheers to our listeners. And I even like, you know, the one thing that I'm kind of impressed about are the people that don't completely come out and DM us or message us, but you can tell people are looking, they're watching the reels. They are maybe just not comfortable enough to take that next step. Or I love the times that we know that our reel hits home because people, you can see sometimes that people are sharing it with others, but we don't know who they're sharing it with. So clearly it's a friend being like, oh girl, or oh buddy, you need this, like check this out. So we know that it's helping, right?
Yeah, totally. Or times like today where somebody I'm friends with in real life sends me a screenshot from her private Facebook where she's like, oh my God, your podcast got mentioned in this thread. Somebody was looking for something. And then I saw your podcast got recommended and I thought, I know her, you know, and it's like that. It's just cool. And it's great. And again, we do this because it's important that this show exists. So I'm obsessed with how hard we've worked to bring this show to you guys. And I am obsessed with how many listeners we have who realize that there is a better way to get divorced.
Yep.
So,
and that brings me to our topic of the day, which is divorcing friends. Let's take note here. We on this episode are going to tell you exactly what you need to do to avoid what we're calling the divorce headache. I'm kind of calling it the divorce meltdown, but we'll call it whatever it is. It's just basically a whole pile of garbage you don't want to step in.
Right, exactly. So if we're going to talk about the term headache, though, let's just put it this way. The divorce headache, if you will, it's the frustration that we bring upon ourselves by being underinformed in what's to come in our divorce process. By not being informed, it's going to cause you to be reactive instead of being proactive, not to mention costing you thousands more dollars and a massive headache.
Right. And I wish, honestly, that when you get this divorce headache, you could just pop a few Excedrin, feel better and just move on. But it's not that easy. And that's why we have to do this episode.
Exactly. Okay. So let's find a place to start here. What do you think? The best place to start would be where?
All right. I've got it. So the first place that we have to start is know your divorce plan. And what I mean by that is strategy. Mm-hmm. When you're meeting with your attorney, you have to have a plan. If you walk out of your attorney's office without a plan, ask them for one.
Ask them what the plan though. Like, what is that? What would that look like for people?
Okay. So this is so interesting, but I always, at the end of all of my meetings, recap what the strategy is from the meeting, just because we've talked about a lot of things. You've probably gotten some things off of your chest that you wanted to say. You've had questions answered. And at the end of it, it probably feels sometimes like a big mess that you've just talked about for the last hour. So I always recap what the strategy is. And what I mean by that is if it's a new meeting with a client I've never met before, I say, this is the strategy in my mind of your overall case. This is kind of plan A to plan B to plan C. This is how I think we're going to do it. But take note here that strategy and plans change. Nothing is fluid. So, you know, one day we could have a plan A, and then I have to call you and say, you know what, things are changing and I want to go to plan B. So what I mean by that is there's a strategy for every step of your divorce process. So what I want you to ask your lawyer is, what's the strategy for our next steps? And so, for instance, I even give my clients a strategy of how to talk to their spouse about the fact that we're going to be moving forward on this divorce. So there's a strategy with that step. And then we talk about the next step. Okay, once that's done and it's filed, here's the next strategy that we're going to talk about in the next steps. So there could be strategies for every little step of your divorce. And then there could be a strategy for the big overall picture of the divorce.
So it sounds like to me what you're saying is that the strategy is like the action steps. Like you're telling them, like, this is what we're going to do. Is that right?
Yes. It's kind of a combination. These are the action steps that we have to take.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how we're going to do it. So it's okay. A two-part kind of a thing. And this is where you're going to want to ask your attorney and know the possibilities of what could happen. So this is somewhere that you want to say, I mean, what are my risks here?
Right.
What is the, you know, if these are my goals, what's the possibility of achieving those goals?
Well, and that's kind of what I was hinting at before when I was talking about being proactive and being informed. So you're not reactive, right? Because if you yes. don't know what's to come, like I did not know what's to come in my divorce. It was like a series of like, what the fuck, you know, instead of like knowing like, yeah, this might happen. Okay. Right. So what you're talking about leads me to something else that I want to ask you, because I think it's really important. When you're in that initial meeting with your attorney, I know, because again, I learned the hard way, but we've kind of talked about this in a very, very early episode of our show, is having a plan for how you even communicate with your attorney, right? Because not all attorneys want to be like communicated with the same way, right? So, and also being mindful of the fact that you're paying for their time. Am I right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so friends, remember this, billable hours. Most divorce attorneys are on billable hours. But here's what I recommend doing to make sure that you're getting the most out of your attorney and also getting all your questions answered. The worst thing you can do is send books in an email. Stream of consciousness emails that go on for 2 pages. Horrible idea.
Right.
Number one, it's going to take us much longer to read it and review it when we've got 1,000 things going on. Number two, it's really hard to decipher what the actual issue is if I've got a whole book in front of me with every grievance you've ever had. So what I suggest is a few things. Number one, send some bullet points. You know, Morgan, here's what's happening. I'd like to talk to you and get your thoughts on 1, 2, and 3. I will set up a call with you shortly. And then you can also reach out to your attorney's assistant to get on their calendar, or you can ask the attorney for a call. That's the best way to streamline your thoughts. So then the attorney isn't blindsided by just a random phone call. They've thought it through. And so you're getting the most out of your money.
Do you think that all issues are worth a phone call? Or do you also feel like it's the kind of thing where, and I don't know, like, do attorneys charge more for a phone call than they do for an email? Because my question connected to that is it the kind of thing, Morgan, where you would say, rank your issue on a scale of 1 to 10, anything a 7 or over is a phone call, and anything, you know, 7 and under could just be an email?
So that's a good point. I haven't thought about it that way, honestly, but I like that idea. If you're amped, I would say, and you're over a 6.5, mm-hmm. 6.5 to a 10 amped wise, mm-hmm. it's probably a good phone call. Also, if you have more than 3 issues going on at one time or 3 big questions, that's probably a phone call, but also with a bullet point email. But like for some of those emails, you make a good point. If you've only got 3 questions and you've bullet pointed them, a lot of times I respond in those bullet points with a different font color or a different font. Just, hey, here's the response quickly. If you still want to follow up, let me know. A lot of times that email just kind of just tones it down because they understand, oh, well, that makes sense what she's saying.
I think that what you just said is so important, is give your attorney some time to think about what, you know, what you need. And especially going back to the fact that you are paying for their time. So why would you want to waste money, waste billable hours being on the phone with them when you're asking them a question in real time? And they're like, well, let's think, you know what I mean? Like,
well, it's funny you say that. So this is such a good example. So last week I had a phone conference scheduled during the week with a client, and it was a big hour long conference because we had a lot to go over about settlement. And I'm not kidding you, probably 2 hours before the call was scheduled, I think I got 9 emails from the client. Well, here's something you may want to look at. Here's another thing with all these exhibits. Oh, did you get this? You need to look at this. And I am like starting to sweat because number one, most good divorce attorneys are very busy during the day. So we are scheduled to the max. So if you want people, your lawyer, to look at something and be up to speed and really give you the best knowledge that they have, you've got to give them time. You cannot send it that same day. So just be cognizant of timing. And it's the same as your time. I mean, probably an hour before a really big phone call, you can't go through every document. So right. Just be mindful.
Right. And again, just keep in mind, you guys, it's always a good idea to ask your attorney, what's their preferred method of communication? You know, like just get to know, ask them, because they're human. It's not like they're just like a family law machine. So you might be dealing with somebody who really likes to keep things to emails, you know, during the day up until this time. Like, you don't know how these people work. Everyone has like their own flow. So I think it's a really good idea up front when you meet with someone and you're putting together your plan, you just ask them like, hey, by the way, what's the best way to communicate with you? I feel like 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, you know, email, and then we'll take it from there. I mean, are there attorneys out there, Morgan, who like to text with their clients, or is that not really a thing?
There are a lot of attorneys that do like to text. I'm not one of them. And the reason I don't mind once in a while, but it's really difficult when I've got text messages coming in, emails coming in, phone calls coming in. It's really hard to put out all my notes in one place. So unless it's like a quick something or other, I always prefer email because it keeps a record of everything. So then we can really keep your case organized. But there are a lot of attorneys that really like text messaging, and that's totally okay if that works for you and them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, so we've wrapped it there on the attorney talk and the divorce plan. Let's move into another topic that I think people need to be prepared for so they're not blindsided. Blindsided? Hello? Yeah. Is my brain on right now?
I think it's off, but wow. It didn't sound weird to me. It's late at night, so
it's like one of those moments where I'm like, are there words coming out of my mouth, or is this just a dream? Okay.
Am I talking?
Am I? Hello? Hello? Okay. Let's move on to finances. Mm-hmm. Ugh, hate this topic, but it's important. So give us what you got.
Well, finances, you just need to kind of be aware of what you're spending and where you're spending it and what you've been doing. I always say it's really important to try to maintain the status quo. So what you've been doing during the marriage, once you start the divorce process, you try to maintain what you've always been doing. So no huge expenditures, et cetera. You know, you don't go get those new pair of boobs or the, you know, brand new car.
Boobs or boots?
Either one.
But what did you say?
Boobs.
Okay. Uh-huh. Those are more expensive than boots.
Exactly. Depending on the boots.
Those are really nice boots.
Those are some really great leather boots.
Those boots, some double D's.
Anyway, it's funny I said that because I've seen it before. So the divorce starts, all of a sudden, huge amounts coming on the credit card from plastic surgery. So unless you were doing tons of plastic surgery before, you know, don't do it. One thing that I always get questions about is I always did Botox every 3 months. Well, if that's what you did, keep going. What I'm saying is just don't go get a body makeover, you know, a minute after you file for divorce. It won't look good, but do what you've been doing. So if that includes, you know, normal vacations with your children, maybe girls' nights out, guys' nights out, just keep doing what you've been doing.
What about for people though, whose financial situation might drastically change after divorce? Like, do you feel like they kind of need to be mentally aware of that and prepare for not having as much of a disposable income?
Yeah, I think that you have to, I mean, sometimes reality hurts and sometimes you have to go through a little bit of bumps to get out on the other side, especially in these divorce cases. And we always say this, if there's not, you know, I'm really fortunate where I deal with pretty high end clients, but I know that there's a lot of people and a lot of our listeners that are not like that, that they're living on one income, that they're barely getting by on one income. And now the way you have to think about it is you're splitting your one income or a small two incomes into two households, and how will you survive? So at the end of the day, rather than getting stuck in your ways, what I want you to think about is how could we change this for the better? So that may mean, and this is hard to hear, but that may mean that you have been used to staying at home with the kids. Maybe that means that you pick up some extra shifts or you start to kind of slowly get back into the workforce. Not because you want to, not because it's your most ideal thing, but it may take some of the financial pressure off of you.
Yep. I just spoke to somebody this week on, I think it was on Instagram. Somebody reached out to us from the podcast page. It was a woman. And she said, I don't know how the hell I'm supposed to leave. I want to leave, but I haven't worked in over 10 years. And I don't know what to do. And I was telling her, I'm like, first of all, you've got to start somewhere. Yep. So even if the first job right out of the gate is not an amazing job, it's something. And I said, but I'll tell you what, after you've been working for a while, you're going to feel so much better. Like it really, like bringing in income does, it helps you feel better. It just does. And it's the truth. It'll help your self-esteem. It feels really good to be able to bring in something that's yours and have that in addition to whatever you get from your spouse post-divorce or during your settlement or whatever. So,
you know, you just said something that I really like. I think that that's such a good way to look at it. Like you basically said, you have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's so true. I always say this too, to all my clients who feel super overwhelmed. And we say this on our podcast, it's day by day. Okay. If you start thinking about the whole forest and rather like tree by tree, you will get engulfed by stress and anxiety. And so, you know, like Andrea just said, maybe it's picking up 4 hours of whatever, tutoring,
something. I mean, even, and I think the other thing is that got to swallow your pride, right? This is not the time when we're too good for something. Like, oh, but I have a degree in this. I went to school for this. I'm going to hold out for this. This might be the time that you just start doing something. I don't care if you pick up a few shifts at a Starbucks.
Right.
I don't care. You're and by the end of it, you're not going to care. Like it's right. Something, and it's not, I'm not telling you that you're taking on a new career as a barista and that's what you're going to be doing for the next 10 years. I'm saying that maybe for the next 6 months, if that, you're starting somewhere, you're getting out of the house, you're moving your body, you're around other people, and you're bringing in some form of money. So
yes,
keep that in mind. And again, we're talking about this now because we want you to be prepared for this. So this is the key, is to be proactive, because it's when we're not prepared for something to change that we become reactive. And that's what causes that divorce headache.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, one other thing, it's funny. I just want to remind you, remember that episode we did with Dr. Randy Heller, where she just basically was talking about how to make sure that you're calm and you're kind of moving on. And one of the things that she said was helpful was to maybe even think about volunteering somewhere.
Yes, 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 yes.
I mean, it kind of reminds me of that. It's like one step going forward.
Yep, it's exactly right. It's something that you're doing, and it's also helping you get out of your own head, you know?
Exactly.
It's important. It's like, again, and it goes back to like that idea of like working at a Starbucks. Yeah, you might first be like, I can't believe I'm doing this, and I'm embarrassed to tell my friends that I'm working at a Starbucks. You're going to get over it. And guess what? you might meet some really fun, cool people at that Starbucks, and you'll get to talk to them about what you're going through, and you'll meet people from other walks of life, and you'll realize that maybe your life is not quite as bad.
Yes. It's funny, personal story here, but I have a family member, and it's very similar. And this family member, extended family member, talks to me a lot because they know what I do. And they always say, you know, I just don't have anything going for me. I don't have friends. I don't have, like, you know, I'm retired. What should I do? And I'm like, it's the first step. Just go sign up to volunteer somewhere. Someone will take you, and you will right. meet somebody who at least feeds your need for something that day.
Yep. One little step at a time, my friends.
All right, let's talk about one other way to be proactive, because we're giving action items, which mm-hmm. I think is so helpful to anyone listening. What'd you say?
I said, okay.
Okay. Another area that we want to be proactive on is your mental health. And I think it kind of dovetails into what we're talking about right now, which is taking that first little step. It's not a giant step, mm-hmm. but also, you know, your mental health and your children's mental health, if you have children, is so important. And I always say this, if you're not okay, you can't be okay for your kids, for your family, for your friends, for your work, for whatever you are. And Randy Heller, you know, it's funny, I took a playbook from her, Dr. Randy Heller, on our episodes. And if you're listening and you haven't listened to her episodes, you should. Yeah. But one of the things she said, I was just having an off week last week. I finished my work, and she basically said, if you need a day where you're just laying in bed and you're really just not doing anything because you just can't think about anything else, do it. And then at some point you will get up and you will take a shower. And it's just something, you don't need to be upset by the fact that you're having all these feelings. You need to work through them on your yep. timeline.
Yep. I can hear her words like ringing right now as you're saying that. Yeah. She said something about, like, you will get up and take a shower when you think that you smell bad enough that you need to yes. get up and take a shower. And it's so true. But here's something else that I want to say. You mentioned, like, if you're not okay, then you're not going to be okay to take care of your kids. And that's so true. Also, guys, you are going to go through a phase where you're not okay. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's okay. This is part of that plan that we need you all, or we want you all, to be prepared for not being okay. That is part of this process. But that brings me to the point of therapy. Every single person deserves a therapist. And you don't have to go every day. You're not going to go every day. But you don't have to go every week. But you deserve to have someone that you check in with on a regular basis who helps you make sense of things. Even when you don't think that you need to make sense of things, you think you have it all figured out, I guarantee you there's something that you don't. And having a neutral third party who's licensed will help you. And this is not the same as the person who you go out for drinks with. And we say this all the time. But Megan from the Typing Pool is not the one who should be giving you advice on your divorce.
That's she right. Doesn't she doesn't know. Or Debbie, the secretary.
Debbie, the secretary also doesn't know.
Well, you have to think about it this way. Everyone has their own ploy, for lack totally. Of a better term. Some people just want to pump you up. So they think if you say, you know, oh gosh, isn't she the worst wife ever? And all that. Oh yeah, she is.
Oh yeah.
You're the best husband ever. And oh, think about what she's missing. And then they pump you up in a way that you're just like, wait a minute, is that real? Now I feel almost yes. worse. Like you're making fun of my ex. Like what?
Your band of bros is just going to sit there and be like, yeah, I always thought she was a bitch. Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't really help you in that millisecond. It might, but buddy, your band of bros is going to help you get arrested or banned from your local Chili's. They're not going to give you good advice. Chili's.
You're not going to get your queso and your chips. You're
not going to get your baby back ribs or your chips or you're just not. You're going to get banned, and nobody wants to get banned from a Chili's. That, my friends, is rock bottom.
And
we don't want you to get there.
The one thing a therapist does, and I think that it's important to talk about it for not only yourself, but also if you have children involved, there's therapists for children. The one thing the therapist does is it's not really like, you know, they're pumping you up either. what they're doing is when you're hitting rock bottom in your divorce process, or you're having all these feelings that you don't know what to do with, they are giving you tools on how to work through those feelings. And no one's going to feel the way that you're feeling because they haven't been through your exact case. And if they've never been through a divorce, they're not going to know how to handle it. But this therapist will be able to give you those tools to get you through those dark days.
I used to always say that therapy is like going to Home Depot for your emotional and mental life.
You get your tools, your hammer.
And here's the other thing that's great about
screwdriver.
Right. The other thing that's great about therapy is that you have to talk in therapy. Mm-hmm. And that's super uncomfortable for a lot of us. But it's when these thoughts and feelings that we have been holding inside of ourselves finally exit our mouths, we're able to release things and we're able to make sense of it. And in therapy, you're not sitting across the bar from the yes man who's going to be like, oh yeah, hell yeah, let's take a shot. You know, like they're going to let whatever you said sit in the room and have some space. And that's when you'll start to learn and heal. So
it's like those awkward silences where you don't know what else to do, but so then you just start talking. That's like the therapist's dream. That's what they do all the time. It's like, I'm just going to wait you out.
And then they just stare and make eye contact. And mm-hmm. they'll make a sound like, huh, wow. And I'm like, I mean, it's true, but you guys, you need it. I actually wish that they wouldn't. I know like in Canada, they have all these different laws about divorce that we don't have here, but I bet Canada will probably be the first country to do this. I think that it should be mandatory that you have a therapist when you go through a divorce. There, I like it. I said it.
I would do it with a caveat. I think that would be a great idea, with the caveat that they are trained in certain ways, because there are a lot of therapists that I don't think are appropriately, you know, trained to do this kind of work. But then there are therapists that we absolutely love. Like our favorite therapist on the show is Dr. Mandy Heller out of New York City and also Florida. She's fabulous.
And she gets it. She knows the process. She gets, you know, she gets it. So yes.
Okay, let's talk about one other thing that you have to do to avoid the divorce headache. This is a hard one, but you have to be open to change. You can't be so rigid in the divorce process. And you have to know that many times during your matter, you may have to change directions. And I think for most people listening, if you're starting the divorce process now, it's probably a little bit easier of a pill to swallow than before COVID, because I think COVID really changed the way that we look at things to some extent. I think we were really rigid before COVID. And then during COVID and after COVID, we're kind of like, we're ready for anything. We're ready for change. But that's one thing you have to do. You can't be prepared for absolutely everything. And you're going to have a lot of strategy changes. You have to be just prepared for the unexpected and roll with it.
You have to know that there's going to be a curveball at some point. This is a process comprised of curveballs. No matter what your plan is, no matter how great your strategy is, something's going to happen. So my advice is to recognize that curveball for exactly what it is, right? Like, oh, there's that curveball that Morgan and Andrea talked about. Okay, what's next? What's the best way for me to handle this? You know, you have a choice. You might not have a choice in the fact that you were thrown a curveball, but you have a choice in how you respond to it.
Right. And that's the one thing I always talk about with my clients too, which is you're going to be agitated during this process, maybe more than one time, maybe more than five times, maybe a lot of times. You never kind of know how your own case is going to play out. But at the end of the day, I want my clients to look back at themselves and say, you know what? I responded with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
I responded in a way that I can look whoever in the eye and say, you know what? That was a classy response, even though I was so mad.
And something to keep in mind is that divorce does not bring out the best in people. So you got to know that going into it. So there are going to be times when your ex responds in a way that is really disruptive to you. and really irritating. And you have to know that just like how you're going through a lot, your soon-to-be ex is also going through a lot. And sometimes curveballs are done intentionally. Sometimes someone's going to throw someone, meaning your soon-to-be ex, is going to throw a curveball your way that might be out of spite, or it could just be out of their fear of this change. But yeah, you have the ability to respond to the situation in the healthiest way possible. So you got to just take some deep breaths and try to recognize that there are things that you can control. And then there are things that you can control by letting go of them.
Right. And listen, we know this is a tall order, especially when you're feeling so angry, but that's why we talk about, even in our other episodes, when your anger is so intense, you don't respond right away. You don't respond maybe for a few hours. You need to go take a breath, think clearly, et cetera. But again, this is why we're doing this episode, because this is how you can avoid this divorce headache or divorce meltdown. It is possible, everybody. It really is. So let's recap. Number one, let's talk about the fact that you should know the plan of your divorce, even if it's in steps, and you should ask your attorney for it. It could be called a strategy. It could be a plan. It could be just expectations and a timeline. Ask them what to expect, because nobody feels less in control than when you don't know what to expect. Number two, billable hours. Ask how it's going to work with your attorney, not like how they bill, but how do they want to communicate? What's the best way to communicate with them? And if you have a lot of questions or you're feeling really amped up, we were talking 6.5 or 6.5 to 10, maybe even 11, 11 out of 10, you're going to want to set a call with your attorney. Number three, just be aware of your finances, kind of what you're doing. And, you know, number four kind of goes into the fact that, you know, you want to expect the unexpected. Mm-hmm. And if you do that and you take baby steps going forward, you're not going to feel so out of control. And lastly, therapy. I mean, it is a good option for everybody. If, you know, even just to talk about just life and how you're feeling, get those tools from them when you're feeling out of control in this process that gets you through that feeling and gets you kind of out of bed when you just want to put your head under the covers.
And lastly, don't let your band of bros get you banned from a Chili's.
If you don't get your Bloomin' Onion, although I think that may be at Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, I don't think that's Chili's.
But some people are really obsessed with that. It could be upsetting.
But just don't get yourself banned. Just don't. Don't make bad choices. We don't want to get you arrested. We don't want to get you banned from Applebee's, Chili's, Sophia Steak, anywhere. We want to keep you on the up and up, people. Wow, we've mentioned so many brands. We should have really, if only this episode were brought to you by the makers of Excedrin and Chili's.
Can you just say, do you want a Chili's cheeseburger for free?
No, I'm just laughing.
You know, we love cheeseburgers. We could totally go to
the show. Can you imagine if the play out music for this episode was, I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back. We'd be like, wow, that show was so classy. And then all of a sudden they got a spot with Jill.
Okay. So we're moving into our final segment, which is the good news movement, which is usually Andrea's.
The good news movement.
Yes. It's where we share good news.
True.
Andrea's least favorite because she's a curmudgeon and she's just cranky at all times. But here we are with me spreading more positivity after I get everybody divorced. Let's be positive because we all want some positivity in our lives.
Now we're going to do Morgan's favorite part of the episode and my least favorite part while I have to scour the internet finding feel-good stories.
So anyway, my good news movement for the evening.
You can laugh. Stop saying movement. It's making me think of
all right. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Anyway, my good news is that it kind of relates to our 50th episode. I mean, we are at a little bit under 70,000 downloads of our podcast.
Yes.
Can you believe it? I mean, girl, in less than 3 years, this is nuts. So thank you. But we really want to get to 70,000. So if you love it or if you know somebody who will listen to it just to get us there, share it, please. We love it. And we'd love to hear from you too. So if there are any episodes that you want to hear, we're preparing for season 4. We are open to any episodes or topics that you want to hear. And thank you for all those who have sent us in ideas so far.
We are so appreciative, you guys. And it means so much to us that you guys are a part of our lives in this beautiful, fantastically strong and open and honest community that we are building here at How Not to Suck at Divorce. We are bringing our season 3 to a close. We are coming at you big and strong for season 4. And spoiler alert, there are some really cool things coming your way from the two girls at How Not to Suck at Divorce. So get ready, get prepared. This is going to be the best year yet for us. And for you guys right now who are maybe not living your best year yet, I want you to know that this is not going to last forever. I promise you, I was there. It is not fun. The days are long. It's exhausting. I said this last week. We know that your arms are tired, but you got to keep swimming. You will get to the other side, and that next part of your life is going to be so worth it. Morgan said this before. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. But we are here for you, and that is exactly why we do this show. And we're here. Reach out to us. Follow us on social media. We're on every single platform. Just type in the handle How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Yeah, we want to hear from you and share us, please. Rate us and review us. We love ratings and reviews, especially when they're great, because we know we're doing an okay job.
I mean, really, only when they're great. I mean,
only when they're great.
Like, if you have something not nice to say, like, we're just not that interested, send that to your
ex. Send it to Andrea directly.
Yeah. take your idea and file it away at your local Chili's. Leave me alone.
Launch your complaint at Chili's. But seriously, share our episodes, please. And remember this, it's sometimes day by day. And sometimes, honestly, it's hour by hour. And don't feel bad about it. If you're having a bad day, it's okay. We have got this, and we've also got you. So hang in there with us. And remember this, this is temporary. You will get through this.
And ultimately, we are here to help you not suck at divorce.